Good afternoon. Hope you're all having a great Sabbath day. It's the way God intends it to be for each of us. You know, in the past 8 weeks, we've had quite a spring feast. You know, we've been busy, but all of us have been guided towards God our Father and Jesus Christ. And spring holy days make us realize that we are God's first fruits. And He has blessed us with the wonderful calling that we have. You and I are to be in His kingdom with Him for eternity. That is our calling. So we go over the holy days. The last day was Pentecost last week. It was a great Pentecost down in Cincinnati. Great sermons, great fellowship. Just one good time with God's people and with God our Father. But now what do? Okay, the spring holy days are over. It's the last of the holy days that has been fulfilled at this point. The last thing that's been fulfilled is Pentecost. We received God's Holy Spirit. Christ died, and at that time, the apostles received God's Holy Spirit. And they spoke what? In tongues. And Peter got up and he spoke to what? Many people in a sermon. And it was so inspiring, 3,000 or approximately 3,000 people were baptized that day and received God's Holy Spirit. When you and I were baptized, that's exactly what we did. We received God's Holy Spirit in us. The Spirit to help you and I through our daily life. From that point forth, He gave us spring holy days to remind us each year, Passover, to reconfirm, days of unleavened bread to keep in mind that we have to stay away from sin, because sin is all about us. We are in sin city's world. This is Satan's world, and we have to live in it, and we have to do God's will. And God will give us the strength to overcome Satan in every way as long as we use His Holy Spirit. So now we know that we are going where? We're getting ready for the fall harvest. That's the next step in the plan. You and I, as first fruits, on the Feast of Trumpets, we'll see Jesus Christ. And I know we're all looking forward to that, because then we know we have succeeded and we put this world behind us. We have overcome Satan. God has given us the strength. We have obeyed. We have ran the race. And we're almost to the finish line, because the next one is we get to see God the Father Himself on Day of Atonement. So we're heading towards the Feast of Trumpets. That day will be a glorious day for you and me and the whole world. Although the world doesn't understand it at this point. But it's going to be a wonderful day. So how do we get there? We're still human. We still have daily problems. We still have daily trials. God gives us a way to get there. He promises us that if we obey, we will be in His kingdom. You know, Mr. McCready sometimes says that we learn from other people's experiences. So I'd like for you to turn back with me to Numbers 14, if you would. Let's learn a little bit from what the Israelites did. In Numbers 14, I want to go to verse 22 to begin with, I believe. It says, because of all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times. Isn't it amazing? From the time the Israelites left Egypt, they had tempted God 10 times, and He brings out the figure. 10 times in that short period of time, they have tempted the Almighty. And yet, what do they have before them every day? cloud by day, a fire by night. How could they forget who was in charge? How could they forget what God had done for them? And yet they forgot so easily, so many times. And as you know, God got pretty angry with them. And what does he say about that group? This is when he puts the final condemnation on them, that they wouldn't see the promised land. He says, "Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it." Now, of course, Joshua was there also. But out of the 12 who were sent, 2 had a good report. 2 believed God. 2 had faith. 2 had trust. And 2 loved God. And they figured God could do anything. They saw the miracles. They believed the miracles. And they said, "I want to be with God. And if God says we can take on these giants, we can defeat them." Because God had already parted the Red Sea. Why would you think that God couldn't do anything? You see a sea just open up, and you walk through on dry ground. And yet they forgot so quickly. So today, what I would like to talk about is making sure that we don't forget. Making sure that we stay close to our God and Father. Because you see, Satan wants to destroy each and every one of us. He wants us to be in the same disarray you see the world in. And what is good is bad. And what is bad right now is good. If you look at our own country, this great country God has blessed you and me to live in, with the many blessings that we take so much for granted. Even we who have been through some of it back during the wars. See, young people, they don't understand as well. They don't understand people giving their lives for this country, for the flag. Thousands, hundreds of thousands died in World War II, World War I, that you and I could have the wonderful blessings we have today. And God has blessed the people, you and I, and those before us, because we were what? His children. And yet, the country as a whole, which was religious up to about the 50s, through the 50s and 60s, but the 60s it changed. The 60s were the big change. Started after World War II, but it never really got its real speed till the 60s. And I was a part of that generation. And a lot of you were too. And the older ones who were older than me, they would say, "Boy, country's really going bad." Well, let me tell you, what it was then, it is multiple times that now. And it's getting worse quickly. And that last 8 years, you've seen this great nation that we live in, the United States, go from a top power of all nations to really a laughingstock to the world. That's really a shame. It's a shame that we have no leadership. But we know it's going to happen. God tells us it is. But it's still hard to understand and to realize. And this is only the beginning. So when you see how the Israelites did what they did, and got in trouble so many times. And even after this, they even got in more trouble. And they would be corrected. And the very next day they come out, they'd just been told this right here, that they were not going to be, what? In the promised land. He told them that, you will not be in the promised land, anyone over 20, because of your rebellion. In verse 27 he says, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, this is God speaking, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcass shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb and the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. Why did they despise it? Because God had promised it to them. And all they did was murmur against him, complain. So after a child does so much wrong, there's a punishment. Their punishment was they weren't going to see the promised land. And your children shall wander in the wilderness for 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. They paid quite a penalty. They had everything promised to them. Everything. And yet, they forgot. We don't want to forget. We want to remember who our God is and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his life that you and I could have life today. But not only today, but for eternity if we obey and serve God the Father. That is a blessing you and I have of being first fruits. First fruits of the living God. Today we are facing our meanest enemy, which is Satan. Let's see what Satan is. 1 Peter 5:18, if you'll turn there with me, please. Well, I guess it must be 2 Peter. I put the wrong one down. I've done that before. Sorry. Somebody tell me real quick where it's at, because I got the wrong scripture down. Anyhow, sorry about that. Huh? Yeah. Okay, thank you. I don't know why I had 15 down there. I'm looking farther down, couldn't find it. Thank you. In verse 8 it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I guarantee you, each and every one of us that love God and are serving God, He wants to devour. He wants you to be like the rest of the world. He wants you and I to have no hope. This world has no hope because they don't know God. If you didn't have God, what would be your hope? You see things deteriorating, your country deteriorating. You see the world around you deteriorating. God has blessed us with His understanding, opening our minds to His truth, that we know there's a better day coming. Because He has given us what? His understanding, and most of all, His calling. Because if He hadn't called us, we wouldn't be here today. And sorry to say, as we saw and have read in the past, the Israelites coming out, how they rebelled, many aren't with us today. I was thinking about the 2 out of 12 who gave a good report. And we know about the 10 virgins at the time of Christ's returns. But half of them didn't have their lamps full. And that's right at the very end. But if we see how many times have we been divided before that, take back in 1995. We were a group of what? About 145, 50,000 people as the worldwide church of God. And probably 80% of the people who were in worldwide church of God no longer go to any church. We have splinter groups, maybe a little bit more than that, maybe not quite 80%. We have a lot of splinter groups. But how many people have kept to the truth that God has given us? In Revelation, it talks about 7 errors, 7 churches. We may have that many still at the end of time. I don't know. God knows who's converted. God knows who's obeying Him. But we know we are trying to obey God and do God's will. God has blessed us with an understanding, with an opportunity to be together as a family, caring for one another, growing in love for one another. Because God is love. And we have to have love above all things. So we have to work on it daily. So as we go through this period, we have daily trials. Oh, we have a lot of good highs too. How blessed we are. God blesses us, takes care of us, protects us. We even know God heals us. We know all we have to do is pray. God is there always for you and me. All we have to do is pray. He's like a loving father, just like parents listen to their children and want to hear what they have to say. God wants to hear what we have to say. He wants to know us completely. He knows us, but He wants us to say it. He wants to say, I love you. Or our Father, which art in heaven, how great thou art. For He is. He is that Father. He is our King. He is our Creator. And because of Him, we are alive today. And because of Him and His Son, you and I have an opportunity to what? Be in His holy kingdom. In the holy city of Jerusalem. That is our hope. That is our desire. And to do that, we have to always make sure that we are alert and aware of how subtle the evil one is. He can use where you work, where they test you about, you have to work on Saturday or you'll be fired. You can't do that. He may use your family. Saying, oh, you're deceived. You can't do that. That's wrong. You don't know what you're doing. My son told me, I think I told you once. He said, well, one thing we agree on, Dad. Once saved, always saved. Boldly he said that. I said, whoa, Excuse me? We don't agree on that. He came across his kitchen to his counter and he says, what do you mean we don't agree on that? I said, did you hear what you said? And see, we got to make sure we don't take in the mind frame of the world, because it's easy to do once they keep saying it. See, something keep being repeated. If you listen long enough, you will finally believe it. If you don't turn it off immediately. I said, what you said was that once saved, always saved. I said, if that be so, you're telling me this is what I get from what you said. I can go sin now, but I'm saved. And he said, no, that isn't what I said. I said, it's exactly what you said. You said, once saved, always saved. I said, we can fail to the very end. We can fail at the ninth hour if we don't stay close to God and if we don't obey and serve God. Well, he finally did understand. He says, well, that wasn't what I meant. I said, but that isn't what you said. And you wanted me to agree with you. He's never said it again, as far as I know. And that's why I told him, I said, just think what you are saying. Don't listen to what everyone else tells you. I said, you're listening to the rhetoric of what they're telling you. Because that is a feel-good situation. I feel good about myself because I was baptized. I'm saved. Aren't you glad? You're saved, right? You were baptized. Yeah, we're baptized. We were blessed. We washed away the old man. God's Holy Spirit was given to us. It's the beginning of a new person. Because we changed from what we were. The only part bad about that is some of us are not as fast as others, and I had a little problem with that. I think that's why God called me when I was real young. I was 19, and I was telling him, no, I really don't want to hear this right now. But you know he wouldn't let go, and just like you. When he opens your mind, he's called you, and you can't get away from it. And how thankful we are. Because we started changing. We were babes. And we have new babes. Every day. Starting where you and I were at once. And we have to remember that. Because you see, eating meat needs to be for a while before you start telling a babe everything at once. Someone new in the church, we have to be very kind and loving. We're to love them. We're not to pound them with everything you and I know. We're to encourage. They ask a question, we're to answer kindly and lovingly, but not to shove something down somebody's throat. That's the way we're to be in the world. We're to be lights, as it talks about in Matthew. You know, we'll be lights to the world. Not someone you hate to see come around because, oh boy, here he comes again. Old sermon such and such going to give me a sermon today. No, that isn't what God wants. God wants us to be lights. And when we're lights, people want to be around us and see why you and I are happy. You can take him to Galatians 5 and say, here's why I'm happy. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. God is teaching me this, and I know God is this way with me. I am growing in God's grace and knowledge. That's what we're to do to the day our Father returns. Be growing in God's grace and knowledge. In love. As he is. Become more like him in everything we say and do. So when we're around people, they will sincerely maybe ask us, oh, why do you do this? not coming up trying to make fun of you, but sincerely, oh, why can you do this? Why would you not work on Saturday? And you say, because I obey God, and God says Saturday is the Sabbath. So I don't work on the Sabbath. It's God's day. And I go to church. Now, that's as much as you have to say to them. If they're any more interested in that, let it go. But if they dig further, then maybe God is opening their minds to understand, and he can be using any of us. Because that's what we're to be, as examples to other people. Turn with me to Philippians 3:14, if you would. All of Paul's writings are interesting, but in Philippians there's many things. Of course, you've read it many times. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press forward. Every day, that's what we need to be doing, pressing forward. Because the high calling that you and I have received is truly the greatest prize anyone can ever have. Because you and I will be in God's kingdom. We need to keep God's kingdom. That's my goal. That's where I'm heading. This is why I'm growing. This is why I'm changing. I'm doing this because God says so. It's not because what I want to do. Because you see, I does a lot of wrong things. And I have to repent. And that's all God wants. Is a repentant person. And the quicker we repent, the quicker we repent, the better off we are. Because see, the quicker we repent, then we go back on the blessing side. Back in Deuteronomy, it talks about cursings and blessings. You know, if you break God's law, just like the Israelites did, after a while, God's going to make your life tough, let you pay for those penalties. Because you didn't repent. But if we repent, that same loving God brings you in and says, yes, what can I do to help you? I love you. Here, let me show you the way. Listen. Do what I'm showing you. Read more. Study more. We have the book. We have been blessed. It's the number one selling book. And probably God's people read the book more than probably, I'll be nice and say 80% of the people in the world, because probably 40% of the people don't even open it. They have it, probably. And they may have opened it a few times. But you do have those who study and try. But no matter how anyone tries to understand God's word, they can understand parts of it. But until God opens your mind, you don't digest it. I've been to church 45 years or better now. I go to the Holy Days every year. And there's a new thing brought up that makes more sense than it did before. Or I'm studying and I'm reading. And all of a sudden something jumps out at me. I said, wow. And I probably read it. But if you study it, you get more. So I study in Deuteronomy. That's why I'm giving this to you about the 10. I never remember the number 10 before. I'm sure that I have read where God said that. But I did not remember it. So, of course, this time I circled in my Bible so I won't forget. You know how you do when you get something you really want to remember? You circle it, or you make a big line under it, or you put it in, and yellow or pink or whatever you want to put it in, but it stands out. So you say, oh, yeah, that's why I put that there. Because you don't want to forget it. Okay, but in Philippians 3, 14, 17, it says in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. That's what we all want to do. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for your example. As Mr. Armstrong used to say, and as we know, we're to follow. And Paul and them said the same thing, follow me as I follow Christ. If I'm not following Christ and God, don't listen to me. Don't do what I did. How did so many people leave in 1995? Probably because a lot of them weren't studying. See, we have to study to show yourself approved. It's what God says. We have to study. If you quit studying, Satan can take this deal like my son did. Once saved, always saved. Hey, yeah, and I was baptized, so hey, I'm saved. Aren't I lucky? Hey, I don't have to worry about this anymore. I can work on Saturday. I can make that money. I can do this, and I don't have to keep these holy days. And I'm saying, you act like it was a plague or something. My children, I say, your holy days. You traveled the country, keeping God's Feast of Tabernacles. You had more travel than probably 90% of the people or 80% of the people you ever knew. And you have friends all across the country and some in the other parts of the world. Most people grow up in an area, how many friends do they have? What? 50 to 100 in your area, school friends and stuff? God opened up a whole new world. I know he did to me. I take it maybe a lot of you got to travel a lot of stuff. I would never travel probably. I was a young man and I think I took two vacations, and one was to an uncle's house in Florida and some friend's house in Tennessee. Besides that, I'd hardly been out of the 3-county area or 4-county area in southern Ohio in a poor coal mining area. And when I came to Dayton and skipped what they called Columbus, Ohio, where nobody went by when I was a kid, if you was going to leave our area and went to a big city, you went to Columbus, Ohio, because that's the big city. You know, of course, I came from a small town, about 4,000 or 5,000 people. It was all coal miners, or 80% of them. I went to Dayton. My parents said, why did you go past Columbus? Well, I said, well, what's called told me there's jobs in Dayton? Well, see, it's the best move I ever made in my life. I got and saved my friend for a week or two, and they helped me find a place to live in a room. And I had a room in a doctor's house. He was a chiropractor. And I had a room and a bath. And I thought I'd hit the jackpot. I paid $10 a week. Of course, you got to realize today's money, that'd be, I don't know, probably $40 or $50 a week now. But, you know, it just showed how dumb I was. But it was meant to be, I think. When I was down home, I lived for $10 a week at my home. Well, my parents, as soon as I got a job, you paid to live where you're at. Okay? $10 a week. I got room, board. Mom did my washing. Mom fed me. Dad fed me. All I paid for was gas and have fun. But they wanted a little bit of control on me, and I was 18 years old or 19. And they said, you can't do this. And I said, but I'm a man now. Dumb. Anyhow, so they said, you know, two men can't live in the same house. And I said, sounds good to me. And they said, bye. So I left. Proud as a peacock, dumb, ignorant person. But anyhow, I'm proud as a peacock. Yeah, boy, I'm on now. I went to Dayton. Made approximately, I think I was making about $70 a week where I was at. I went to Dayton, made $125 a week. So I got a $55 a week raise. I think I'm rich. Back then, though, if you made $10,000, you was pretty high up making money back then. Anyone that made over $6,000 was doing well. So I paid $10 right from room. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. I got to go eat every day. That costs money. Oh, man. I got to do my washing. I got to do this. I didn't make a whole lot more money by the time I got done. I figured I made about $20 a week more than I made before. But I had a whole lot more of my time taken out because I had to go to a restaurant to get something to eat. I had to go wash my clothes, you know. It's like the person that says when he's in school, I'm tired of being told what to be done. I'm going to join the service. That was a common statement when I was a kid. No, I am get tired of my dad telling me what to do. I'm going to join the service. So they go being told maybe 8 hours a day what to do, 24 hours a day what to do. When you get up, when you sleep, what you eat, what all that. The time they got out of the service, they realized home wasn't too bad. Home wasn't too bad. But that's a learning curve for everybody. Everybody has to learn. Some of us are slower than others, so sorry. I was one of the slow ones. But that's why we read the book. That's why we study. And we need to study daily. We got to keep our nose into this and not into everything else that's going on. Right now, your computers and stuff is taking so much time. If anybody who's into computers just spent half as much time in the Bible, probably a quarter of the time they spend in the Bible, they'd be spending probably an hour to 2 hours a day studying. But if I told you, if I told him, well, you need to study your Bible for 2 hours, I said, are you crazy? I got things to do. You know, I'm busy. I mean, but I can take this with me and I can walk and talk. Oh, I hit somebody. Sorry, I didn't mean to bump into you. You know. Well, you try to talk to somebody and they're texting and what'd you say? Oh, yeah, okay. I'm not very text smart anyhow, so this really didn't bother me a whole lot. But anyhow, but others, my family, all of them, you know, they'll come over and want to play cards. And I said, if you want to play cards, put down the, you know, texting. Well, I'm not hurting anybody. Well, sure they are. The art of conversation is gone. Because when you play cards or play games, you don't want someone to say, oh, what happened? Who's up? Is it my turn yet? You know, after a while, I have a short fuse sometimes, and I say, you know, if you don't want to play, let's just quit playing. It doesn't bother me, but I'm not going to play. And that's what I do now. I just say, if you want to play cards, you want to play a game, hey, glad to do it. But if you do that, you better put your cell phone, your thing up, so you can't be doing texting and everything else. Do we get caught up in this? I don't know. I don't. A whole lot. I do get on the internet, but I'm not that long normally. But, you know, a lot of people live on those things. I mean, I see people, all they do, I've seen friends, they come home and they get on this tablet. I don't know if they talk very much to each other or not, but they're on the tablet. They know everything. It's on the tablet. And they play Candy Crush and all these games on the tablet. You know. But I'm just saying, we need to make sure that we're grounded in God's Word. We need to set priorities. And all of us get our priorities messed up once in a while. And guess what? Satan will work on you and I to cause or have things happen in our life that cause it not to be like we would like to have it. Emergencies and other things. But then once we get an emergency, we got to get back on track. You know? And that's what you and I have to do between now and when Christ returns. We have to make sure we stay on track. Make sure that our first thing, which is Matthew 6:30, seek first the kingdom of God. First, not second, not third. He will not accept anything but number one, for he is number one. He's the one who created us. He's the one who made us. And he expects the honor and glory due him. He doesn't think we should honor him. He doesn't think we should do this. He knows we should. And when they don't, and if we don't, we see what he will do. Once God gets angry or gets upset, he takes action. That's why we are so blessed that we can repent. Whenever we see we've done something wrong, it takes a second once God opens your mind to repent and realize what you've done if you know God. And you ask him to forgive you, and he will. And then you can move on with your life. So we have a loving God. He puts up with a lot from us. Think about it. I know if I look at my life, look what he's put up with. Don't say too much. Hold down your, don't need no hands. You don't need to say anything. It's fine. But, you know, we need to make sure we understand so that we do not let Satan, with his deceiving ways, disrupt us, get our minds off of the goal. And the goal is God's kingdom. The goal is us becoming more like God every day in Jesus Christ, so that our thoughts are pure as Christ and God's are. Just go over the page to me there and Philippians 4, and let's read verse 4 and a few verses here. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice that you know. Rejoice that you've been called. Rejoice that God protects. Rejoice that God loves. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. He wants to know what you want. He wants to know where you need help. He already knows, but he wants you to ask him, realizing who he is and what he is. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these. It's all the many things that God gives each of us. If you want to meditate, meditate on these. Meditate on the one who made everything we see and things we don't see. And yet someday we will see, because we'll see everything if we're in God's kingdom. We're going to be a part of his eternal plan. Right now we're part of this small plan, earthly plan for mankind. But in the end, we're going to be in God's holy city, and we're going to be a part of the grand plan. Things that we have no idea. Our minds will be so filled, and our understanding will be so much. And when we get there, how much will we be praising the living God when we see the greatness that he really is? We understand a little bit. We will be probably blown, as I say, blown out of your socks or off your socks if you knew everything today. Because when you saw back, when he would let someone see something, Abraham, anyone, or the prophets. They couldn't describe it because of the way they were living to what it's going to be. And that's only getting to what? God's kingdom at this point. They saw what was going to happen for those who got to God's kingdom. They didn't see beyond what was going to be on that point. And all those who make it will get to see that. We will be a part of the greatest, the mightiest, the most wonderful thing that ever existed. We're going to be a part of God's plan for eternity. And you and I can never understand eternity as a human being because we're down to years. But that's what God has planned for you and me. And we need to keep our mind on that so that we do not get sidetracked by Satan as we live to what we're waiting for, the return of Jesus Christ this year and every year. And as we saw in the first part of the spring holy days, Christ loved us so much that he gave his life for us. God asked him to do that, and he did it willingly. And that's why each of us are here today. That's why we still have God's Holy Spirit in us, because we renewed our vows with God at baptism. As Paul said, you know, would it be everything to be thankful? Because we're really blessed. There's a lot to be thankful for. Do you realize the people who do not understand the Sabbath day? I've heard a statement said by many people, what would happen if the whole world, and you've heard it before too, if everybody in the world just obeyed one of God's commandments, how much would the world change? If there was just no killings. And you take each and every one of the commandments. If everybody just kept the Sabbath day and was brought back before God every week, what a change they would have in their heart and mind when they were listening to God's word and they'd finally understand. The whole world would change. But see, the one who's putting out all the signals now is Satan. God is just choosing a few. We are the ones who have been blessed to be called and chosen. Like you said, many are called, but few are chosen. What a blessing we have to know that, that he is with us at all times. I got a lot more scripture to go through, but I'll go through some pretty quick and just give you a few of them. But we do need to rejoice, and we need to pay attention, and I'll turn with Romans 12, 1, if you would, 1 and 2. Because somebody told me to make it a good sermon day. I guess they meant short. They're using Mr. McCready's standard, I guess. You've heard this many times. And Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Everybody knows the pull of the world. Everybody doesn't have the blessing of God in their life. You and I have the blessing of God in our life because of the calling He's given us. We need to be thankful every day. And you know, I get on myself because I had a bad back for like 8.5 years. And you know, sometimes I forget to thank God daily that I do not have that pain. I try not to. But you know, there are days that I have. And boy, how dumb can you be? Because I want to tell you, everybody misses a pain. My mother told me that when I came back in the service. Because I asked her if she missed me. And she said, everybody misses a pain. So, but I want to tell you what. I don't miss the pain. And I am thankful. And we all have so much to be thankful about. If we just look at our lives. That you have a home. That you have food. That you live in a free society. I guarantee you many people over in China, where Mr. McCready is at right now, or those in Africa, or those in South America, would love to have the freedom. Why do you think they want to come to the United States? They know what dictatorship is. They know how mean and evil men can be. They live under it. They're scared half the time. So we always have something to be thankful about. If you have your health, if you're able to be here today, I know many who aren't here today would love to be here. Do you want to change places with them? I'm sure we don't. Nobody wants to be sick. Nobody wants to be hurting. Nobody wants pain. We have the opportunity to be around each other, having fellowship, hearing God's word preached, learning to love each other more. And we even had good snacks afterwards. So we're really blessed that we have good snacks afterwards. You know? A lot of areas may not have that. I don't know. But we seem to have snacks. We have people who help out. We talked about not too long ago, I talked about all the people who serve to try and make our Sabbath day even a better day. But God has blessed you and me on this holy Sabbath day. And this is God's holy Sabbath day. It is our weekly holy day. Every seventh day, it is our weekly holy day that we are to come before God Almighty as a group, as a family, to be with one another, because families love to be together. And usually when we get together, there's quite a bit of chatter, and that's good. And we always have to run people out when the time's up. And that's good, because it means we like each other, we love each other, and we want to be around each other. It's exactly what God wants. He wants His family, you and I, to love Him and be with Him. Not only on the Sabbath day, but every day, but especially in His kingdom that is coming. The kingdom that you and I are going to be a part of. As long as we walk the walk, finish the race, continue to grow, continue to meditate, and look to God for guidance and direction in everything we do in our life. My father-in-law used to say, I didn't have this in my notes, but Ed Griffith used to say years ago, and it was one of his favorite scriptures, was back in Revelation 3, I think it's 10 or 11. Let me check. Yeah, in 11. Christ is saying, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you hast, that no man take your crown." No man. This is between you and God. Your life and your eternal life and my eternal life. is between me and God. Because when he returns, I will what? Be responsible to God and Jesus Christ. I'm not responsible to you or to anybody else. Because God will say to me and to you, why did you do this if it's wrong? So we need to make sure that we make sure our paths are the paths of the living God. We need to be doers. James 1:22 just put down. We need to be doers of God's will and of God's way. In Revelations 21, in closing, I'll give this. This is what we're looking for. Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And in verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You and I are going not only to be his children, we're going to be his son. The son and daughters that he loves. Let's always keep in mind that we are God's children. We are his chosen ones. And what a blessing it is to be chosen and loved, so loved by the living God that he gave his only begotten son, that you and I can have an opportunity to be with him in his holy city of Jerusalem. Let's learn from the mistakes of the Israelites. Let's not be complainers. Let's be praising our God and look forward to his return.